May the words that I speak be in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, Susanna might back me up on this, but one of the greatest ambitions of any violinist is to play a Stradivarius. Meticulously handcrafted by Antonio Stradivari. Pronunciation not brilliant, but Susanna can do it. These very rare violins produce an unrivalled sound. So you can imagine the excitement of acclaimed British violinist Peter Cropper when in 1981, London's Royal Academy of Music offered him a 258-year-old Stradivarius for a series of concerts. But then, the unimaginable. As Peter entered the stage, he tripped, landed on top of the violin, and snapped the neck off. I can't even begin to imagine how Peter Cropper felt at that moment. A priceless masterpiece destroyed. We saw in the Genesis reflection how God meticulously handcrafted the natural world and declared it was very good. It was paradise, heaven, where God lived side by side with the culmination of his creation, humans made in his likeness. All in creation was given to humans so that they could make it flourish, and humans were made to reflect the image of their creator in the world. Then, as I'm sure we all know, disaster. God's command not to eat from the tree of life was disobeyed, and the priceless masterpiece was destroyed. We had distanced ourselves from God. Now, I'm sure you're wondering what happened to the violin. Poor Peter Cropper was inconsolable. He took the violin to a master craftsman in the vain hope that it might be repaired. And repair it, the master craftsman did. So perfect was the repair that the break was undetectable. And more importantly, the sound was exquisite. The Academy was most gracious and allowed him to continue using the Stradivarius. And so night after night, Peter drew his bow across those strings, and he was reminded of the fact that what he once thought was irreparably damaged had been restored at the hands of the master craftsman. So all ended well with the violin, but what about God's broken masterpiece? I would consider that the repair work is in progress. But I also consider this. God loves us far more than Cropper loved the violin. We can trust that God, our master craftsman, will help us to be complete again. And this is where the gospel reading comes in. In the reading, Jesus talks about the birds of the air who do not have anything to grow their own food, but their heavenly Father will still feed them. Even Solomon, the richest and most extravagant king of Israel, in all his splendour, was not as stunning as the lilies of the field, who did nothing at all to be enclosed in their beauty. Jesus goes on to say that if God cares so much for lesser things in creation, will he not care even more for us, the climax of his creation? We are made in his likeness. Jesus then states that his disciples have little faith in God's provision for them. He says, don't worry about food or drink or clothes. God knows what you need. All these things will be provided. Well, happy days, isn't it? Does that mean that if we have faith, we can sit back and not worry about the money for next month's bills or how the fridge will be filled next week? God feeds the birds of the air, and he cares for us even more, right? Well, yes, but no. God does provide for the birds, but he doesn't just pop a piece of food into their mouth. No, they have to seek what they need. The verses in Matthew are part of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. God is physically with humanity once again in Jesus, and he's addressing his disciples, not as individuals, but as a community. He's teaching them about the kingdom of God and the lifestyle that is necessary to witness the reality of a life in Christ. It's the virtues and practices that make human community under God possible. It demonstrates what it is like to live in the presence of God in his kingdom. Now, if we were to summarise the sermon in a sentence, it would go something like, how to live a life that is dedicated to and pleasing to God, free from hypocrisy, full of love, full of grace, full of wisdom and discernment. At this particular point in the sermon, Jesus is asking his followers not to strive for material wealth, which may be seen as important in life. But he's saying first, seek the kingdom of God. So Jesus was not saying that the disciples should sit back and do nothing and then the Lord will provide. He says in verse 33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When we think about it, this would have been as revolutionary and countercultural then as it is now, today, in our secular world. The disciples lived in a time when position, authority, status, and money ruled. Does that sound familiar? But when we recite the Lord's Prayer, we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are made in God's image, so we can do his will and bring the kingdom of God to those around us now. Whilst the standards of the sermon are high, they're not unattainable. And whilst the result of living up to the principles set out by Jesus are visible in words, in good deeds, and in our relationships, it's actually more about an inner righteousness of the heart, being right with God. To be right with God requires a different success criterion to the world. The vision of ultimate good is determined by faithfulness and not by results. Mother Teresa once said about her prayers, I do not ask for success, I pray for faithfulness. She also said, let us more and more insist on raising funds of love, of kindness, of understanding, of peace. Money will come if we seek first the kingdom of God, and the rest will be given. In Mother Teresa, we see an example of someone who really did live by the sermon and brought the kingdom of God to earth now. Now, we're not all Mother Teresa, but we do have things in common with her that can help us bring the kingdom of God around us. We're all made in the likeness of God. We're all loved by God. We're all given unique gifts and talents. And we can all pray and trust that God is listening and he will provide for us if we look beyond the material world and mirror God's likeness on earth now. At a recent team building morning for ministry teams, our archdeacon asked, why do we do what we do? I sometimes ask myself that as well, and I'm sure Nepo does too. But why do we do what we do? Have a think for a moment. As Christians in our community, here in Hayes, why do we do what we do? I'll give you a moment to ponder. Now, see if your answer is the same as the Archdeacon's. The correct answer is to build the kingdom of God here and now. Mother Teresa has examples of God's provision as she worked to build the kingdom of God, and we can also read any more. Has anyone here ever read God's Smuggler? A lovely little book. Yeah, a few of you. If you've not read it, it's a really lovely, lovely little book. And there's a chapter in it, a wonderful chapter, and it's called The Game of the Royal Way. Now, that chapter really highlights this point beautifully, so do read it if you've not. And here at St Mary's, we've got our own example. We've recently been blessed with funds for a youth and family worker. The church was very kindly left a generous amount of legacy money, and when the relatives were asked what their mum might like the money to be used for, the reply was she'd always been keen on a youth worker. Now, that came just at the time when we were pondering, you know, should we have a youth worker? Have we got the funds? Can we as a church do this? Can we afford it? And there, that money came and the confirmation from the family came. It is astounding that when we are working for the Lord to build his kingdom, we can trust that he will provide. Where we are now, however, is not the completion of the kingdom of God. The passage we heard in Romans talks about how we have the first fruits of the Spirit. That is, as Christians, we have a foretaste of the kingdom of God on earth, here and now. But this is not the completion. We still anticipate the coming of Jesus again, when creation will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. What could be considered an irreparably damaged humanity will be fully restored at the hands of the master craftsman. Now, with Lent only 10 days away, many of you may be considering what to do for Lent. You might be considering giving something up or doing some extra Bible study. Or maybe you're pledging to do more to help those around you. All very good things. But whatever you do, maybe ask yourself one question, as the Archdeacon asked us. Why are you doing what you are doing? Ask yourself, will whatever I do help to build the kingdom of God here and now, as we wait for the fulfilment of creation, when we truly will be in the glory of God once again? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that as you help the seeds sown in your exquisite creation to grow, you will also nurture the seeds sown in our hearts today. Give us faithfulness to grow in your love and to work to build your kingdom here and now. Amen.